What a wonderful sound of worship today. Beautiful sound. When you come to the conclusion that there ain't no grave going to hold my body down, and you realize there was a single individual, a man on a cross, whose hand reached down and pulled me out of the grave, it'll make you sing a song. Oh yeah, you'll sing a song. There was a man one time had gone to a pretty rowdy party near his home, and he got a little too rowdy there, and it came time to go home. He didn't want to drive his car, so he thought he'd walk through the subdivision, find his way home. Well, through the subdivision, there's a church, and the church was a graveyard, and just so happened they had a freshly dug grave opened up, just 6-foot hole in the ground, and this guy, because he had partied a little bit too much, didn't see it, it's dark, he falls in the grave. So he gets down in there and he starts scratching and clawing, trying to get out, but it's just too deep, he can't get out. So he's tired, so he just gets back up in the corner and snuggles in and goes to sleep, so they'll find me tomorrow when daylight comes. Well, just so happened in the same party, there's another dude, and this dude, he's been doing the same thing, and he thinks he'll take the same shortcut through the same subdivision, finds the same church and the same grave, and he falls in, but he falls in on the other end of the grave. He doesn't know there's a guy already in there, so he gets in there, and he starts scratching, he starts clawing, trying to get out. Well, all that scratching and clawing woke the first guy up, and the first guy just simply looked over and said, "You ain't never going to get out of here." But he did. When you realize that somebody has reached down from heaven, took a hold of you, and lifted you out of the lake of burning sulfur, you will sing a song. I've heard preachers call today Easter service the Super Bowl of Sundays. 2 years ago, we had 1,400 people attend our three Easter services that weekend. Last year, during the pandemic, we were totally shut down. All we had was online services that lasted for 8 weeks, and I've said it a couple times, I'm still not over that yet. This is the highlight of our Christian calendar. Why? Resurrection Sunday. Why? This is the ultimate victory. This is it. For humans, this is it. That there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Today, I want to focus on and celebrate the supernatural. And I'm going to use this word a lot, so I want you to get it. There is a natural realm and there is a supernatural realm. The natural realm is inhabited by natural people. That's us. But there's a supernatural realm that is beyond us, above us, superior to us, and it can do things we can't. Today, I want to focus on this and celebrate the supernatural work of God that changed the world. Supernatural because there is no natural man that can accomplish what Jesus accomplished. There is no natural man that can go into a grave and then on the third day stand up and walk out. Trust me, if you experienced it, you'd remember. It doesn't happen. Who can make a dead person come back to life? Who can breathe the breath of life into somebody that the breath of life has departed from? Some of you might say the doctors have shocked people's hearts back to beating, and yes, that is possible. While we respect their work and we respect their efforts, we understand that they have limits. If doctors truly had the resurrection power, there'd be no more death. No more death in hospitals. There'd be no fear in a pandemic. But you all know, we all know it's not true. Humans cannot produce life. We cannot breathe the breath of life into someone who has died. There'd be times that we would have the great desire to do so, but we don't have the power. So let's start there today. Only a supernatural power. Only a supernatural power, not the power of natural man, can produce life from non-life. Jesus, I declare to you today that Jesus is supernatural. He is the Son of God, and he is the Son of Man wrapped in the same person. Supernatural. That makes Jesus unique among all the humans who have ever lived on the earth. Jesus came from heaven, and I want you to notice what Jesus says specifically about this life thing. John 3, verse 6. Humans can reproduce only human life. Now, he's from heaven. He understands how this thing works. Humans can only reproduce human life, but there's another alternative. But this one is supernatural. But the Holy Spirit gives birth. Notice the phrase, gives birth to spiritual life. You got human life and you've got spiritual life. You got human reproduced life and you've got spirit life. Humans can reproduce human life. In fact, I got evidence of that here today. There's Michael and Haley, my son and daughter-in-law over there, and number six grandchild. They're holding her today. Her name's Ellie. And Michael and Haley are proof, evidence that humans can reproduce human life, to which I am very thankful. She is beautiful. But we have a problem. All of reproduced human life has a fundamental problem. We eventually die. We expire. Eventually, listen, it's just true. Eventually, we all run out of breath. The Holy Spirit, however, can produce something, give birth to something beyond human life. That's why we're here today. That's why we're singing songs today. The Holy Spirit has a supernatural power to give birth to something beyond human life. It's called spiritual life. And spiritual life doesn't have an expiration date. It doesn't ever run out of this breath of life. The Holy Spirit is a supernatural power, a power that humans don't have. Government doesn't have it, no matter how much they want to act like they have it. Doctors don't have it. Scientists don't have it. You cannot create it in a laboratory. The power of life. Jesus, in the same context from the Gospel of John, does something that is quite revealing to me. He connects the Holy Spirit, the ability to create, to give birth to spiritual life, something supernatural beyond human life. He connects it to the wind. He connects it to the wind. And the wind is like connected to breath. If you'll notice on the day of Pentecost, something happens. It says, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and the church began, it was like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Why the wind? Why is Jesus going to connect the Spirit's supernatural power to wind? Well, let's look at it. John 3, verse 6. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say, you must be born again. And here comes the wind. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. I can't explain it. You can't explain it. It's a supernatural event from a supernatural power. People can't do it. You can't explain the breath of life, because it's beyond us. I can see the wind. Excuse me, I can't see the wind, and I can't see the Spirit. I can see the effects of the wind, and I can see the effects of the Spirit. Humans can only reproduce humans, but the Holy Spirit gives birth or beginning to a spiritual life, a supernatural life, a spirit life. The process of crossing over from human life to spiritual life is called, listen carefully, it's called born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. The Spirit is like a wind, like the very breath of God. It's like this wind, this Spirit is like God breathing life into a person. He breathes life into a room like this one. He breathed life into the church on the day of Pentecost. He breathes life. He breathes the Spirit. Jesus announces this truth, and it is an absolute truth. You must be born again to keep your breath. Let's make it simple. To keep breathing life, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you will eventually one day expire. Eventually one day you will lose your breath. You will die. I've watched it happen physically many times. If you've lived very long on this earth, you've watched it happen maybe many times, watching as a person breathes their last breath. The breath starts getting more and more shallow when you sit next to someone who's dying. It becomes more and more shallow and further apart until finally when you're sitting there and you know what's coming and you hear the sound. And that's it. It's over. It doesn't come back. It has departed from the flesh. The breath of life is gone. The breath of life leaves that person's natural body, and we don't even like to say the word. I don't even like the word. And what remains is an empty corpse. An empty, lifeless corpse. And the truth is this, there is nothing any human can do to fix this condition. Natural man cannot fix this. An empty body. The spirit has departed. The life has departed. It has no more breath of life. Humans have the power. God has given humans the power to reproduce human life. But even that has a beginning. Even that has an origin. Yes, that was and is a gift from God. The ability to bear children, to reproduce human life, is a gift from God. So I'm going to ask the church today, and if you're watching online, it's a real question that I want you to contemplate. Where do you think human life began? There was a time in the American culture that this was no question at all. It was all just assumed in Genesis. But that's changed. Where do you think life began? Where does this, let me be more specific. Where does this breath of life that we have seen, I have watched depart from a person's body? And when that life, that breath of life departs from that person's body, they are dead. And nobody can do anything about it. Where does that come from? Do you believe it comes from chance, random processes? If you send your kids to public school, they are being told that that breath of life comes from chance, random processes. But the Bible says something quite different. The Bible states clearly that God formed Adam's body from the dust of the earth. But at that moment of forming, there was no breath in Adam. No life in Adam. You could say that Adam at that point was a clay corpse until something happens. There's no breath and no life in Adam until something happens. The wind blows. And where does this wind come from? This breath, where does it come from? God alone. The Bible says that God is spirit. And God is life. And when he breathes the spirit, the life, a person can go from dead to alive. Chance random processes or exploding stars did not put the breath of life inside of Adam's body. So let me just give you some sideline counsel today. I advise you to not put your trust in the philosophies of dying people when it comes to the issue of life. But put your trust in someone who has defeated the grave. And put your trust in the Word of God, which actually reveals the source of life in the book of Genesis. Because here's what it says in Genesis 2:7. And then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. And he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils. He breathed. God breathed. The wind blew the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became something that nobody can become on their own. He became a living person, a living soul. The breath of God inside the body of a man is called life. And when the breath of God leaves a person's body, it's called death. That's when you become a living person, a living soul, a spirit being with a soul. All of it comes from God. Men and women can reproduce this life, but we cannot create this life from nothing or give this life to someone that has died. It is beyond our natural ability. Men and women can reproduce this life by having children, but we cannot determine how long this breath of life will last inside those children. The breath of life has come to all of us. I can look around the room today and say with some confidence that we're all breathing God's breath of life right now. It's His breath in our lungs. That's the good news. You know what the bad news is? It has an expiration date. We don't know how long we will breathe this breath of life, but we do know, right? You do know. Nobody wants to talk about it. We do know that one day the breath of life will end. So I looked up yesterday online and I wanted to know what the average life expectancy for an American male is right now. And the number right now is 76.3. So in case there's anybody in the audience today that's 77, don't worry, it's an average. It's an average. 76.3. Before the flood of Noah, people were living much longer than 76.3. Maybe you're here today and you don't believe in Adam, and you surely don't believe in Noah. Or maybe you're watching online today and you're curious, and maybe you say, well, I really don't believe in this whole breath of life and Adam thing and creation, and I really don't believe that there was a worldwide flood and God brought judgment upon the inhabitants of the earth and the time of Noah. I'm going to ask you something today. Just hear me out. Just hear me out. What do you got to lose? Just hear me out. And I want you to look at this picture to kind of set the stage to what we're about to do. And I looked up, I found this picture online, and I just thought it fits perfectly what I'd like to try to communicate today. See, I am convinced that the Bible has a source through which its power flows. That God is behind the Holy Scriptures, breathing the breath of life into the Word of God. And when I read the Word of God, which we will do today, from these words comes life. So if you're struggling with the whole Adam, creation, Noah, flood, Jesus event, just hear me out. Allow the Word of God to penetrate and just see what happens today. The Bible says Adam lived 930 years before the breath of life left his human body, but it did leave. Adam's son, Seth, lived 912 years before the breath of life left his human body, but it did leave. Methuselah has the record, as far as we know, at 969 years. What a birthday cake candle event that would be. Woo! Methuselah lived 969 years before the breath of life left his human body, but it did leave. They were all, Adam, Seth, Methuselah, all of them, they were all reproducing human life, long life from our perspective today, right? But from God's perspective, people were living too long on the earth. Sin was increasing, and God told Noah that he was going to make a change in the life expectancy of human life. How long people were going to breathe the breath of life. He controls that, you know. Genesis 6:3. And then the Lord said to Noah, "My spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time. For they are only mortal flesh. And in the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. So let me ask you a question. Do you know anybody 121? I don't. That's a long way from 76.3. All of that is to bring me to my main point on this Easter weekend. Natural man can only reproduce human life, and all human life comes with an expiration date. Now, that would be a terrible place to end, but that doesn't describe Easter, does it? That is a fact, and you would have a difficult time arguing with me that natural man comes with an expiration date. We all die. But the spirit can give birth to a spiritual life, and Jesus calls this being born again. Not being born of human parents, but being born of a supernatural event. Spiritual life doesn't have an expiration date because the spirit is life and the spirit is immortal. The Spirit, here's one of the things that I find amazing. The Spirit, when you are born again, doesn't bring life. The Spirit is life. The Spirit is the breath of God, and the breath of God is eternal. He is the one who was and is to come, the all-existent one. And that's why Jesus says this in the same chapter, same context, John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, unless you encounter this wind, this breath, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Why? You would look at Jesus and say, why? Why can't people go to heaven unless they are born again? Why? Because people in heaven can't die, and people who aren't born again are all dying. Do you think you're going to go to heaven and go to a funeral service? You think you're going to go to heaven and have to say goodbye to somebody because they're dying of old age? Natural man cannot and will not enter heaven. Natural man, unless something changes, unless the wind comes to your life, this breath comes to your life, natural man cannot, never will enter heaven, because heaven is for living people. Dead and dying people aren't going to heaven. Do you doubt me? Dead and dying people aren't going to heaven. That's why Jesus came, to change the dead and the dying to the alive and the eternal. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says this, "What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies, as we are now, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But these dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever." Born again is the only way to move from this physical, man-made, subject-to-death person to the spirit-breathed, eternal life person. So let me read Jesus' original statement one more time, but now I'm going to put it all together. Let's start with John 3:6. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Okay, preacher, you have my attention on this Easter weekend. So now I've got one big question. How do I get born again? How? How can I move from human reproduced life, which comes with an expiration date, to this supernatural breath of God that has no expiration date? Who wouldn't want that? How can I cross over from death to life and breathe this eternal breath of life in my body today? Is that possible? I proclaim to you today that's exactly why Jesus came to the earth, to show us how to cross over from death to life. And before I reveal the message of Jesus to you today, you must understand something. And I'm going to make a big deal out of this part. Before I reveal to you the essence of what it means to be born again, I need to tell you in advance. It's only fair to tell you in advance that what I'm about to tell you, the world has already rejected. So you need to count the cost of coming to accept what I'm about to reveal to you from the scripture. The world has already rejected this message. In fact, let me take it a step further. The world has already rejected this from which the message comes. The whole idea that there are people that struggle with in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I've always heard people say, if you can handle the first verse, you can probably handle the rest of it. They reject the idea of where the breath of life finds its origin. They reject the idea that God brought judgment upon the earth because of sin in the time of Noah. And they reject the idea that Jesus himself rose from the dead. Or there's a group of people that I found even now, they want to accept Jesus, but they want to reject Adam and Noah. And you have a fundamental problem is that Jesus himself quotes Adam and Noah. Is the Bible the truth? See, I say again, without apology, I believe what I hold in my hand is the only physical source of absolute truth on this planet today. I believe it to be the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, before I explain to you what Jesus says about being born again, that the world has already rejected the very thing that I will preach to you today. So count the cost. Count the cost. Count the cost. You see, God knew in advance that the world would reject his son. And the miracle of all miracles is that he sent him anyway. Do you know this rejection was announced by the prophet Simeon when Jesus was an 8-day-old baby? In Luke 2:28, let me set it up. Simeon was a holy man, a prophet, and God, through the Holy Spirit, had revealed to Simeon that you will not die, you will not see physical death until you see the Messiah's coming. So this guy just lived his whole life like, whoa, will it be today? Will it be today? Well, in Luke 2:28, Jesus is 8 days old. He's a baby, and Mary and Joseph are taking baby Jesus to the temple to fulfill the Jewish rites. And there's Simeon. Here it goes, verse 28. Simeon was there. He took the child, 8-day-old Jesus, in his arms, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation. I've seen the Messiah, which you have prepared for all people. He's a light to reveal God to the nations. Now you need to, Gentiles in the room, that's non-Jewish people, you need to pay close attention. To the nations is us. This baby is going to reveal God to the Gentiles. And he is the glory of the people of Israel. So he is for the Jews and the Gentiles. And Jesus' parents were amazed at what Simeon was saying about this baby. And then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, here it comes. He says to Mary, here's an 8-day-old baby. This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall. What? This baby is going to cause many people to fall, but he will be the joy to many others. One group will fall because of him, and one people will be ecstatic with joy. Falling and joyful. Two groups. He's been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. They will oppose the very message of Christ. So count the cost, church. Are you kidding me? Who would oppose Jesus? Who would deny the supernatural Son of God, the Spirit of life himself, come to the earth? This child, this man, Jesus, was destined. It was his destiny to cause many to fall. But many will find joy in him and in the truth of his name. Many will oppose Jesus' message of eternal life and this born again truth that I'm going to reveal to you today. He will be the dividing line of all humanity. The dividing line of humanity between life and death. One side will be life, one side will be death. One side will be the saved and one side will be lost. One side will have breath and the other side will be breathless. So let's fast forward some 33 years past Simeon. And Jesus is in his final days of his earthly ministry. Remember, this Jesus is the supernatural Son of Man and the supernatural Son of God wrapped in the same person. Remember, Jesus, his Father. This is really big. Remember, Jesus, his Father's not Adam. He's not. His Father's not Joseph. His Father's not any human being. His Father is God. And God is Spirit. Of all the billions and billions of people born on the earth, Jesus is the only one that is not from Adam. Do you see where this is going? Remember, humans can only reproduce human life. Do you see where this is going? Jesus is not from Adam. Everyone else who's ever lived on the earth is from Adam, except one. And he is supernatural. The angel announced this specific detail to Mary before the miraculous conception, Luke 1:35. The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, Mary." What's going to come upon Mary? The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, Mary. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, Mary. So the baby to be born will be holy. He will be supernatural. Why? Why was he supernatural? Because never before on the earth has there been a child born outside of the family of Adam. But there's one. So some of you might say, well, what does that? Hold on. The Spirit of God came upon Adam and upon Mary, and she became pregnant with the Son of God. The breath of God comes, the breath and the Spirit. The Spirit is the wind. The breath of God, the life of God, the Spirit of God is placed inside of Mary's womb. A supernatural child would be born from Mary's womb that was not from Adam. The only time in human history that this would happen. Do you see it yet? Well, here's the hint. John 3:6. Humans can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Do you see it now? Humans can only reproduce human life, but Jesus is not from Adam. His Father is not Adam, so he can do what no other human can do. Later, Jesus stands in front of his 12 disciples and he asks them a question. A very serious question. He says, "Who do people say that I am?" And some of them said, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're a prophet from the Old Testament. As Simon Peter, he answers this. He says, "I believe you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, how many times have you read that and really not got today's point? Peter's saying, "I believe that your Father's God." Not Joseph, not Adam, not anybody on the earth. Your Father's God. Well, that wouldn't be true for anybody on the earth except Jesus. And that would have only happened one time in all of human history that your Father's not human. Peter knows who Jesus' Father is. And I'm going to ask you a question today because it's a serious issue. Do you know who Jesus' Father is? Why is it a serious issue? Because you cannot know the supernatural truth from human sources. It must be revealed how? By the Spirit. So I ask you, do you know who Jesus' Father is? This is big. Today, do you know what Peter knew? Matthew 6:15. And then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" See, I'm convinced that all of human history will be determined by how you answer this question. Who do you, and every one of you, I want you to ask yourself, who do you say that Jesus is? I can tell you the correct answer. Jesus, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." What? "You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." Who is revealing this supernatural Father-Son relationship to Peter? God through the Spirit. Who is revealing it today? God through the Spirit. Stay with me. Do you know what happens after this event in Peter's great confession? Verse 21, from then on, after Peter comes to the realization who Jesus' his Father really is, the Spirit has revealed who the Father really is. Verse 21, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law, and he would be killed, but on the third day he'd be raised from the dead. It was necessary for Jesus to become the dividing line of all humanity, separating life and death. The plan of God has now been revealed. God is revealing his plan. They didn't fully understand it then, and I'll tell you, many people don't understand it now. The plan of God was for the Son of God to die. He must resolutely go through Jerusalem to be able to come home to the Father in heaven. The Son of God was going to voluntarily do something, and this is the next big point. He was going to go to the cross, and he was going to voluntarily do what? He was going to give up his life, which is his body, and he was going to, listen, he was going to give up his spirit. He was going to give up his breath. Where does that come from? He's called the second Adam or the last Adam. Where did the first Adam get his breath? God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. Where did Jesus' come from? The Spirit came upon Mary. The breath of life comes upon Mary. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to give it up. This is big. This is really, really big. He's going to give up his life. He's going to give up his spirit to the will of the Father. It's called Good Friday. Jesus has been on the cross some 6 hours, and I want to read a portion of that scene. Luke 23:44. Notice the details. By this time it was noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle, and Jesus shouted. He shouted. "Father, I entrust what? My spirit into your hands." And with those words, Jesus did something. The supernatural Son of God did something. He breathed his last breath. The sun was darkened. The temple veil ripped from top to bottom, opening a way, the only way to the Father. And Jesus shouts. The Son of God shouts. The supernatural Son of God, the creator of life, shouts. Shouts what? The breath of God inside the only begotten Son uses that last moment to shout. Shout what? "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." The New American Standard Translation says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus breathes his last breath. The creator of life breathes his last breath. The spirit, the breath departed from the body of the Son of God as he hung on the cross. Why? Why? Do you understand why? You must understand why. That was the only way, the only price sufficient for us, the only price sufficient to redeem us from what Jesus was about to enter. Do you know what he was about to enter? The grave. Jesus gave up his spirit and Jesus gave up his breath to make sure that you and I would have a chance for a second birthday, a born again second birthday, a born again breath of God birthday. They took Jesus' body down from the cross and they laid him in a borrowed tomb. Can you imagine Jesus' mother? Did she remember the teachings and the prophecy of Simeon when he was just a baby? This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, and many will oppose him today, 2,000 years later, and many still oppose him. But there are many who find great joy in him because they find hope in him. Can you imagine what was going on in the mind of Peter that day as Jesus, the last breath comes out of his mouth? What about John when the last breath comes out of his mouth and they come to this realization he's dead? He's really dead. If you've ever been around somebody dying and you see the last breath and there are no breaths and it all stops, you know, in that moment, you know that you know he's dead. He's dead. He's dead. He raised others, but he's dead. He's dead. He became a corpse. No breath of life. He's dead. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Praise God for Sunday morning. These next words from the Gospel of Luke will be read all over the world today by those who have been born again. They will be read all over the world for those who have been born again in celebration, but they will be read for a second purpose. These words from the Holy Scriptures will also be read all over the world today so that those who have not yet been born again will have a chance to enter into this life-saving, breath-giving, born-again Spirit of God relationship. Here are the words. Luke 24:1. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, "Why?" The angels asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? He isn't here." Somebody say hallelujah. If you don't, I'm going to, so you might as well. He isn't here. No human can do this. This is supernatural. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would raise again on the third day. Now, I got to tell you, personal testimony, I've been to Israel twice. I've been to Jerusalem two times. I've been to the place where they believe Jesus' tomb, his empty tomb, is at twice. And I know this. The most interesting thing for me about that is I see people from every tribe and tongue and nation around. It's always a crowded place. And they come from all over the world to see nothing. There's nothing there. Why would you fly from all over the earth and go to a place to see nothing? It's supernatural. It is the biggest event in all human history. And until you realize what those people realize, that it is that nothing that gives me everything. Do you know that? He's not there. He's risen from the dead. He did what no human can do. And I pray today that one day the angels, if the Lord tarries, the angels will say that about me. And they'll say that about you. and they walk through the graveyard and they'll say, "He's not there. He is risen." Yes, listen carefully. There were other resurrections from the dead in the time of Jesus. You know the story of Lazarus? You know the story of the widow's son in Nain? Peter was even given the power to raise the dead after Jesus' ascension to the right hand of the Father. But listen carefully. Of all of those resurrections during the time of Jesus and the early church, they all ended up with the second death. Can you imagine Lazarus when he got sick the second time? He looked over at Mary Martha and said, "I got to do it again." Listen, this is it. This is big, but not Jesus. Once. Once, only once. Do you know how big this Easter story is? The Apostle Paul describes it like this, Romans 6:7. "For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin." Sin always brings death. "And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this," and I'm asking you, are you sure today? "We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again." Lazarus had to do it twice, not Jesus. "Death no longer has any power over him. And when he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God." After his ascension, Jesus appeared to the apostle John on the island of Patmos. After all the other apostles had been martyred, we estimate that John was about 95 years old when Jesus comes and gives him the revelation. In Revelation 1:17, here's what he says to John. John said, "When I saw him," when I saw Jesus, "I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and he said, 'Don't be afraid, John. I am the first and the last, and I am the living one. Living one. I died, but look, I am alive." How long, church? "Forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and the grave." So, I told you earlier that today I was going to reveal the secret, what it is to be born again. It would be wrong to bring you in here and to have people watch online and never tell you what it really means to be born again of the water and born of the Spirit. So here comes the Easter weekend grand finale. I hope you're ready. Do you know how you know? Do you know how you can know that you know that you know that you know that you will never die? That the breath of life is inside of you right now, and that you are not subject to death because of the resurrection of Christ. Do you know how you can know that you know that you know? Do you know how that you can be sure right now that your soul will go to be with the Lord if your breath happens to leave your body? Do you know how you can be absolutely sure that you will rise, you will ascend to the Father when Jesus comes for his bride at the rapture of the church? Do you want to know? And if you do know, are you sure that you know? Do you want a complicated, unable to answer religious answer? No, I don't have one. Do you want the absolute truth based on the Word of God? I've got it for you today. And it's not really from me. I'm going to use what the Apostle Paul said. Colossians 1:25. Here it comes, grand finale. "God has given me the responsibility," Paul said, "of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you, the message of God. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people." What is the message? "For God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ," that's life, "that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too." Somebody say hallelujah. What are the riches and the glory? What does it mean? What was the secret? "For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you." This gives you assurance that you know that you know that you know this gives you assurance of sharing in his glory. What gives me assurance sharing his glory? He's in here. I know he's in here. I know he's in here. And if one day the Lord tarries and they decide they're going to put me in the ground and he's in here, and they want to put me in the ground and he's in here, and me's not the flesh, that's just a tent. They can have that tent because I'm going to get a new one. But if one day in the future they're going to put me in the ground and he's in here, they already tried that once. Do you understand? They already tried that once. He just comes out. And if he's in here, the secret is this. Christ lives in me. This is my assurance of sharing in his glory. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ himself. The Spirit is the breath of life, the breath of God, the eternal source of life. And what do you think is going to happen if that Spirit, that person, that life is in you? You can't die. Your tent might die, but you're not a tent. You're a soul. If Jesus Christ lives in you, you have the breath of God in you right now, and you can't die, listen, while he's in you. The resurrection of Jesus is our proof today, proving that if he lives inside of me, he is bigger than the grave. And the grave, ain't no grave going to hold this body down because it couldn't hold him down. Do you need it more clear? Galatians 2:20. The Apostle Paul says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. He's been born again. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives where? Where? In me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you know what that means today? If you've been born again, it means that you've already passed over from death to life. You're just waiting for that new eternal body to come on the last day. In John 5:24, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message, I'm holding it high. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. You will never be condemned for your sins, but you have already passed from death to life. If you are in Christ today and Christ is in you today, you have been truly born again and you have these promises of God right now. You see how we ought to be the light of the world? We ought to be the people that can sing a song in a graveyard, but it doesn't work if you don't believe it. If you die tomorrow, listen, Jesus describes it. If you die tomorrow, if you're a believer and Jesus lives inside of you, you've been born again. If you die tomorrow, the angels will carry your soul into the presence of God, and there you will reside until the resurrection of the last day. You know how I know? Jesus told me. Luke 16:22, he tells this story. Finally, the poor man died. And he was carried by the angels. He was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died. So you got two contrasting positions. The poor man dies. Angels are coming. They take his soul into the presence of God at the side of Abraham. But there's another side to this story. And this guy does not have the spirit of life. The rich man died and he was buried and his soul went to the place of the dead. However horrible you might imagine that scene, it is not horrible enough. He went to the place of death. There is torment and he saw Abraham in a far distance and Lazarus at his side. I give you an assurance from God today. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, if you remain alive until the trumpet call of God, you will not experience a physical death. I'm still hoping for this one. I'm telling you the truth. Listen, it sounds funny. It's not funny. I'm hoping for this one. If you are in Christ, you are right now a candidate for this one. You will not experience a physical death, but you will receive an eternal body as you rise to meet the Lord in the air. Only if you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Here's the promise, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will one day come down from heaven with a commanding shout and with the voice of the archangel. As I read this, I really wonder how many people believe this. I can't help it. I'm sorry. Does your life live like you're ready for this, like you're expecting this, like you're anticipating this, like this is the purpose, meaning, and goal of your life? One day the Lord's going to come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And first, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. And then together with them, and as right now we're all candidates for this verse, and then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And there we will be forever. How long will that take? It'll happen in a flash, in the blink of an eye. There won't be time for you to come to Christ. There won't be time for you to be born again, not in that moment. It will be too sudden. 1 Corinthians 15:51 describes it. Let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die. There will be a generation that will not taste death. But we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? It's not a secret anymore, because God has revealed it to you today. So I'm going to ask everybody a question, and we're going to sing an invitation in just a few minutes. Here's the question. Have you been born again of the water and the Spirit? It's yes or no. Does the Holy Spirit live inside of you right now? Is the breath of life inside of you now? It's yes or no. If so, if you're in this room today or you're listening online, if you know that you know that you know that Christ lives inside of you today, you have eternal breath of life inside of you. You cannot die. Why don't you live like it? We are not afraid of death, for because death has been defeated. And why are you afraid? But I must tell you this. I wish I could jump this part, but I can't do it. If you are not in Christ today, if you have not been born again, if the Spirit of Jesus does not live inside of you right now, you are already dead. You just don't know it yet. But God's mercy has opened a window of opportunity for you today. It was in a scene much like this that God's Spirit, his breath of life, came to me. Through the Word of God, it penetrated my heart, and I was born again by the power of the Spirit of God. That opportunity is yours. Humans can only reproduce human life, and all human life dies, but the Spirit is eternal. One final word from Jesus, a word of truth for all who will believe on this Easter weekend. And of all the places on earth he does it in a graveyard. Four-day dead Lazarus on the side. Here's what he says. I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will live, even if you die and get buried. And whoever lives and believes in me will never, 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 I added all those other nevers, die. And then he says four words. I'll ask Chad, come on now for the invitation. Four words. You know what those are? Do you believe this? It's faith. It's faith. That I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's faith. And I believe he rose from the dead. It's faith. I know who Jesus' Father is. Humans can only reproduce human life. And all human life dies. You're going to die without him. And I believe that if you believe Jesus is who he says he is, I believe that if you believed you were lost and Jesus had the power to save you, I believe you'd believe in Jesus. It's faith. It's faith. You believe it to be true. You receive it as truth. It becomes truth in your heart. Jesus comes inside of you. If Jesus is not inside of you right now, you will go to a grave one day and you will never come out. It will swallow you. And that's the truth. But if you're in Christ, even if you go to the grave, it cannot hold you. Because the one who defeated the grave is inside of you. We're going to sing a song. It's your invitation. If the Holy Spirit's convicting you today, don't go out this door without responding to him today. Let's stand.